Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening for June 11th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Glad to be here.
And tonight, got to give you a warning, tonight's show will likely make you very afraid of fearmongers, which is the intent. So we'll get to that. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we also operate some schools. Metaphysicsinstitute.org is where you can earn your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, with a number of specializations available, such as counseling, coaching, healing, paranormal, and so forth. If you'd rather just take standalone courses or get a certification in one of these areas, then we also offer the International College of Humanistic Science, ICHSWorld.org, for those purposes. What I'd like to do is discuss our profession of beliefs, briefly mention them, only take a couple of minutes. And as I read them, pay close attention to what they say and how healthy they are, because they are. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, please visit mchschurch.org. Now, I wanted to highlight these tonight because they do and will come into play on our topic, which is freedom from fearmongers. And, you know, as the description says, there's no shortage of fearful events, news, and doomsday sayers. And tonight we're going to explore why you should not buy in to these fear mongers. And you can see this fear everywhere. The news especially is bad. Politics, it's bad. There's a number of examples. The least
of which is the church, Doug.
Well, we're going
to... You know, if you sin, you're going to go to hell.
And that's certainly on the agenda. But let's talk about... let's just start with some of these common examples. Let's start with the news, 24-hour news channels, Fox News, any of the news media. That's how they make their living, on drama and crises. Now think about that for a moment. People who watch that stuff all the time and buy into it, buy into this fear, literally live from crisis to crisis. It's called a crisis mentality, and you can see it everywhere. You know, they will just drive these news stories into the ground, any kind of thing, and it leads those viewers to think that this stuff's happening in every city all over the planet, you know, or whatever the story happens to be, and it's not real. It's not an accurate or balanced reporting. Another thing, and think back over the years, the reports on SARS, on swine flu, influenza, you name it. What is that one? N1H1, something like that. All these different diseases. Everything's going to get you, you know. And that's if you believe the fear mongers. And there's so many of them out there. Alex Jones is one. Rush Limbaugh. A lot of these politicians, a lot of these political commentators, journalists, they all thrive on fear because fear sells. You can even see it in commercials. I think you were mentioning that earlier, Vicki.
Oh, yeah, I love commercials.
Well.
I think that the whole message in the media and the educational element to it is kind of all confused. There's a difference between educating somebody and presenting a discussion versus this is absolute, and that's what tends to happen. You know, I haven't had TV for a couple of years, and I just got a TV again. Nothing's changed. It's the same commercials, the same stories, the same news. It's all the same. And I actually was expressing that to you the other day, Doug, that I'm amazed that nothing has changed in a year and a half, 2 years, when it comes to watching television. And I'm really thinking, geez, maybe I don't want television because, you know, it's kind of infectious in a way. Mind you, I do not turn on a TV until the end of the day and like to watch a few shows. I decided because of this show that I'd watch the news last night. It's the same news as what there was, just a different spin on it, you know, a different whatever from 2 years ago. I think that the intensity has grown because I think a lot of the presenters actually take acting classes. You know, more emphatics and it kind of blows my mind, actually. And nothing has changed. So there's a difference between education for education's sake, but then who do you believe? Because everybody's putting their own spin on it. Mm-hmm. So it really requires us to be a little discerning about what we're listening to, why we're listening to it. That's a really important point. Why are we listening to that story? Why are we watching the news? Why are we? And what is it that we're getting out of it? So we check in with ourselves.
I know. You know, and there's an excellent documentary that you can find on YouTube. It's called Culture of Fear. And just go to YouTube and do a search, Culture of Fear. It's a 41-minute documentary. There's some variations on it that are different times, but check that one out, Culture of Fear, after the show, 41 minutes. And it's an excellent documentary on how this country, the world, just lives in fear. You know, if it's not terrorists, it's disease. If it's not that, it's sexual predators. And if it's not that, it's serial killers. You know, we've got everything to be afraid of. And this is not healthy. It is not healthy to live your life in fear. And so we have to use critical thinking skills to discern what's a bunch of hype, what's just a focus on the crisis mentality, and what's real. The fact is that we live, at least in the United States, and I know this is true for Canada and in most of the developed countries, we live with a pretty high degree of security and safety. This stuff, yeah, it happens, but it doesn't happen nearly as much as what the news outlets would have you believe. So we have to use critical thinking skills. One of the big things that you can look for in the news and in advertisements is what's called a false dilemma. It's part of a logical fallacy. A false dilemma is basically an either-or. How do I put it? It's a choice. It's an either-or mutually exclusive choice. Here's some examples. Either we allow abortion or we force children to be raised by parents who don't want them. Now think about that for a minute. It's stupid, but it gives you one or the other choice. And one of those choices is usually involved with fear. It's a bad thing. And the fact is that's not the only two choices we have. Here's another one, America, love it or leave it. Well, those are our only two choices, you know. Another one, if guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Really? That's it? You know, it's designed to inspire fear or to incite fear. You can see this everywhere. For example, the other time, what was it, last night or the night before, I watched a little video clip on CNN with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who basically in the space of a couple of minutes made the leap that if you don't floss, you risk dying from heart disease. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, really? I didn't realize that about you, you know, him. Anyway, it's all dramatic. It's all to create fear. You got to do this. And that's what this fear is. The fear mongers want to control people. They want to control the masses. They want people to do a certain thing, whether it's buy a product or behave in a certain way. It's all over the place.
What's really interesting is when you dare to challenge the fear, and there, because there's a lot of opposition, it's very difficult to have discussions with people who've bought into that either or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because what happens, I think, is the either-or mentality comes into play, but the education requires like such big thinking that people focus in on one thing. It's kind of like an OCD to thinking about what is bad for you, and then people go on crusades because that's the only measure of control that they feel they have. And I think this is the really serious backlash of fear-mongering, is people do like to feel, like we all like to feel like we have some kind of say in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and that we have some kind of control. But what we don't realize is that the minute we focus on a particular issue, we have lost control because we no longer have our minds.
Yeah. So use critical thinking skills to weigh what you listen to, what you hear, to discern whether it's just a bunch of hype, whether it's yet another manifestation of a crisis mentality, whatever it is. But seek the balance. Now, as I mentioned at the outset, our principle of belief number one, do no harm, do right. There is harm in fear-mongering. It's not right to create fear where there should be no fear. Now, one of the things I do want to mention here to be very clear on is, does that mean that we just drop everything we hear, that we, you know, that all these news stories? Well, not necessarily, you know. What I'm trying to say is don't live in fear of it. Don't live in paranoia of it. Yeah, you got to be safe. You got to use your own good judgment. You got to use a good head. You don't go to seedy places or places that have high crime. You know, you don't go to those places. You don't neglect children and all that and put them in harm's way. You use your good judgment on this stuff. But what we're really talking about here is not going beyond that and buying in to unreasonable claims centered around fear. One of the big ones is religion. You know, you mentioned that a minute ago. And let's talk about a couple of those things. Religion is all about fear-mongering. Why? Well, you got free will, but if you don't do what God says, where are you going to go? To hell. You got a choice. You can either go to heaven or hell. You know, it's your choice. There's fear.
I'd just like to go to my room.
Yeah, really. You know, another thing, you know, you have to look to something greater than yourself because you're not enough. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. And all of that is bunk. There is nothing greater than yourself. There is no power greater than yourself. There is no force greater than yourself. And, you know, is there something bigger than you? Yeah, the universe is bigger than us physically, but there's nothing more powerful than us, nothing bigger in that sense, nothing greater in that sense. So when we codependently look on someone else and we live in fear of that someone else, whether we're going to, you know, get their wrath if we don't do what we ought to do, that's more fear-mongering. It's all over religion. You know, if you don't do it God's way, you're going to burn in hell or you're going to die at Armageddon. You know, I grew up with that. Armageddon's just around the corner. It was Jehovah's Witness. Armageddon's just around the corner. That was back in the 60s. And we went around the corner looking for it. It weren't there. That's true, actually. It's funny, but it's true. We were just kids. You know, our parents told us it's just around the corner. Well, we didn't know what it meant, so we went around the corner and looked, and we didn't see no Armageddon. The point is that all through my life, I lived in fear of doomsday sayers. Remember 2 or 3 years ago, there was this fellow who has since died. In fact, he died last December, Harold Camping. He was one of the more recent doomsday sayers. He set the end of the world date for like May 2011, May 26, something like that. And of course, nothing happened. And so he said, oops, I was wrong and miscalculated. It's going to happen by the end of October 2011. Well, obviously nothing happened. The end of the world didn't come. And then, you know, don't even get us started on 2012. So many people were afraid of 2012. What's going to happen? All the stuff's going to line up. It's the end of the Mayan calendar, yada, yada. And what happened? Nothing. And if you're old enough, you remember Y2K. Yep, everything was going to go to hell on January 1st, 2000, because the computer's software, you know, the year digits were only 2 instead of 4, on and on. It didn't happen. So we can live in fear. There's all kinds of doomsday sayers out there. Cults will say it. They've been saying it for decades. You know, there's always something to be afraid of. But you've got to use your critical thinking skills, even when it comes to religion. You're not a sinner. You're not imperfect. You don't need to be saved by anybody other than you. This is all control tactics to make people do things, none the least of which is to make donations and contributions to the tune of billions of dollars to these Christian religions.
You know, and the point is to distract. If it's in the news, it's to distract you for something else that's going on in your neighborhood. I believe this.
Well, it could be.
A lot of things go on right under our noses, but we don't see them because we're fixated on what people are telling us we should be focused on. You know, and this happens quite regularly, whether it's matters of land claims for, you know, Native Americans or, you know, I could give a draw. Big, huge political list of that. But the thing is, it's distracting so that people change their behavior and their focus. You know, I'd like to bring up one really interesting statistic, Doug, when it comes to kids and what is happening now. People so fearful about something happening to their kids. Do bad things happen? Yes, they do. Statistically, though, any kind of child abduction, 90%+ is within the family or a family member. It is not stranger abduction.
Mm-hmm.
The education is ingrained in people for kids to be afraid of strangers. Now, should we be afraid of strangers? Yes, that makes sense. If you don't know somebody, don't go in their car or in their house. That's just sensible. But to focus on that, we're not addressing really important social issues of what is going on in families, and that we begin to improve and be a more progressive social society, you see, because we're too fixated on all the strangers.
Yeah. Dan the chair room mentioned Oral Roberts. Remember when he used to say, you got to give me all this money or God's going to call me home, that kind of a thing. And we're saying, well, what's taking him so long? You know, I mean, just more fear. You know, and that's what religions use. If you don't do it this way, you are not going to go to heaven, or you're not going to be in favor with God. So use own good thinking.
Sorry, Michael was just mentioning about the Nostradamus predictions. And, of course, he says his writing can be, you know, interpreted any which way you'd like to. I think what we have to remember when we're looking at predictions or, you know, from prophets in the past, we can see them as true or not, but they're also written in a language for the time. You know, Edgar Cayce is another one. You know, it's the language of the time. So how do we interpret that when we're using language in an entirely different way? See, we don't know. You know, and maybe there's something to it and maybe not, but really, I don't know what we could do about it today. You see, because those are things that are not in our control. How do you prepare for, you know, when for certain things that may or may not happen when we're all just getting through a day and just trying to be better human beings? At least we hope that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And we should be, you know. Every day is a beautiful gift to write in our book of life, what we did that day to make it a good day, to make it a right day, to do no harm, to do right. Well, let's take this whole discussion of fear into another little topic area, and that it has to do with paranormal stuff. You know, there's no shortage of ghost hunters out there who will, you know, try to, they use fear. They may unwittingly do this, but they certainly do. And many of them will do this in the area of demons. You know, there's the demonology. And I will say I have no problem with somebody being educated on, quote, demonology from a more of an academic point of view. But demons are not real. They're a religious construct created at a time when the church needed to control people and when people didn't understand some of the natural things that go on. Demons are not real. Yet many a ghost hunter out there will buy into that whole demon thing and scare the bejesus out of people, the clients, with this talk of demons or these malevolent inhuman spirits. Look, we teach about them. Could they exist? And I'm talking about malevolent inhuman spirits. Yes, they could. I mean, it's possible. Not demons are just a creation. It's a religious construct. But can mean spirits exist? Do they exist? Well, apparently so. But here's the thing. Should you be afraid of spirits and ghosts? The answer, in a word, is no. They cannot harm you. And then you see people watching all these stupid shows on reality ghost hunting and exorcisms and all this stuff and all these religious people doing exorcisms. Well, there must be something to it. Yes, there is. It's called psychology. Spirits cannot harm you. Well, I've seen people been scratched by them. Well, so what? You know, a scratch is not going to kill you. You know, you get a bite from a mosquito, it's not any different. Your cat scratches you, so what? You know, if that even happens, you've got to use your critical thinking skills. And all my time of doing paranormal investigations, you know, I haven't seen anything remotely related. I've never seen any validated cases of malevolent spirits harming people. I've heard about a few, but the people who were claiming these things were dubious. They were not credible investigators. So you've got to wonder. I've never seen it happen, and I have invited everything from Beelzebub to Satan to whoever to show up and start talking, prove their existence. Nobody ever shows up. Spirits cannot harm you.
I invite them in for tea, and nobody shows.
Yeah. They don't want your brand of tea, I guess. So spirits, nothing to be afraid of. Now, can you be startled by them? Sure. But a person can startle you, too. Be more afraid of people than you are of spirits, because spirits can never really do anything, regardless of what you hear. You gotta use your own good thinking skills on it, because they're nothing to be afraid of. In fact, I just want to talk to them to get more info. You know, they just won't. And of course, I have a hard time with spirit communication because I'm just not necessarily gifted in that area. It's not part of my skill set, but I do enjoy doing it through table tipping and through other psychics who can do that.
You know, Dr. Dan in the chat says demons are not real, but does demonic behavior exist? And I would have to say, in that classification, yes. I mean, I have an ex-husband who I thought was demonic.
Oh, can't bring that up.
Oh, I can't bring that up, sir. You know, I think that if we think of demonic behavior as bad, you know, somebody who has bad behavior or, you know, they're negative, they're selfish, they're sociopathic, there's some psychopathic behaviors, you know, the mental illness. Yeah, I could say, yeah, it's very evil. You know, it's like, yeah. Boy, they're evil. You know, it's such demonic behavior. But to actually say they're demons in the classification of little horns and a pitchfork, I'm thinking not.
No.
You know?
Yeah, demonic means evil, heinously evil. Hitler's one. There's Stalin. There's many of them, you know, Hussein. There's many people who fit that category. So demonic behavior, sure. But, you know, putting the word demonic on it, again, we're reminded of a religious construct, and that's where the word comes from. So yeah, bad behavior can be on the part of anybody, human or otherwise. Now, can you have some mean ghost spirits? Sure. They're just like people. They have different personalities. They have different levels of awareness, different levels of growth and evolution. So, but again, spirits can't harm you. So don't buy into that stuff. Don't get freaked out. If you've got something in your house, likely they want your attention. It could be a relative. It could be you might be psychically sensitive and don't realize it because, you know, in my opinion, psychically sensitive people are a little bit like beacons of sorts. It's like a light on in the dark that attracts the moth, you know. And so spirits are attracted to those who have the psychic sensitivity. And they might be wanting something. You may not be in a position to help them, and likely you're not. Or they could just be a deceased family member who's trying to get your attention, may want something. It's up to you to protect your boundaries. If you haven't invited them in, that's what you say. This is my home. I have not invited you in. I don't know who you are, and I can't help you. You must respect my boundaries. You must leave now. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's just no different than a human being there. Treat them as such.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have dealt with this a lot, as you know, in my life. And people frequently call to say, you know, I think there's a spirit here, or is there a spirit here, and I'm so afraid. And much of what people are debriefing from, and I believe that there is an awareness taking place, Doug, that people are starting to, you know, be more accepting of metaphysics in that way, mm-hmm. or mysticism, spirituality, and so forth. But we're debriefing a very old school of thought, and people are afraid of being crazy. And even though they might be crazy, they're afraid of being crazy. They're afraid of somebody telling them they're mental. Oh, they're afraid of, you know, they're afraid of maybe the church is right. You know, what if?
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, it's like, what if? Like, I don't believe in it, but what if it's true? So if I'm seeing spirits and then they think I'm mental, then what will the church do to me? Or what will God do to me? You know, and there are these really subliminal fears that, you know, I call them like brushstrokes of brain files that are, you know, that surface in certain situations. And these are really good opportunities, though, for us to debrief ourselves. To say that those were belief systems that were given to me, really the sensibility of it's not there, and move forward. So there's, you know, geez, matters of spirits, matters of paranormal, matters of, and what about forgiveness? And if I don't, I say, I don't know about this forgiveness business. I think that we never forget, but I think we release anxiety. You know, we release any OCD thinking about certain things that bother us, but it really has nothing to do with forgiveness in my view. But it's all these things that have that people are afraid of in their own mentality.
Good points. And you know, that point about some people kind of keeping one foot in the religious arena, because what if the Bible's true? What if there is a God and all that stuff? That's common with people who've left some of these cults and religions. And to you who may feel that way, I only have one thing to say. Mosquitoes are proof there is no God. Think about it.
That's
all right.
Funny.
So you know, we're talking about fear mongering, about all the things we have to be afraid of. Another area is finances. You know, we're afraid we won't have enough. We're afraid we'll run out. We're afraid we won't get enough.
Now, those are facts.
Okay, we're going to just mute you out here. Anyway, yeah, you know, look, that can be the case. But again, we're trying to strike a healthy balance here. Yes, we have to earn a living. We have to cover our costs and the cost of living and so forth. But don't forget to focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. And so many people are so obsessed with what they don't have that they just get more of what they don't have. Yeah. You got to focus on what you want and continually improve yourself, grow, evolve, learn something new each day, because that increases your personal net asset value. So many people are afraid of learning, afraid of stretching, afraid of studying something new because, well, that's just too much work. And then they wonder why their life is not where they want it to be. We see this a lot. You know, we run schools. We see that. You got to stretch. You know, the very reason that something may seem too hard for you is the very reason why you should embrace it. How hard can it be?
This is the debriefing that I'm talking about, Doug. Even when it comes to, let's say, writing an exam, you know, just because you had an experience in grade one, you know, and it got really bad by grade seven, we're big people now. So if we can keep that measure of the childhood experience and debrief ourselves from those things to challenge our adult self, then it takes on a different view. You know, so it's like integrating all aspects of ourselves, you know, the mentality, the physicality, as well as the emotions, because all of those fears come from old emotions, residual emotion.
Yeah. You know, and to my students out there who are afraid, who are not making progress through the IMHS degree program, you know, I want you to rethink it. I want you to rethink it. Don't let life get in the way. You enrolled for a reason. Don't let it drop. Don't drop out. Don't let it go. You know, focus on your goals. And you may have a slew of reasons why you're not making the progress you want. And I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do it. I want to hear all the reasons why you can do it, because it's your life that's in the balance here. It's your path. It's your journey. You know, just because you progress and complete the program, it's going to mean a lasting difference for you in your life. It's going to be the most important thing for you. So don't give in to unnecessary fears of life. You know, focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Don't be afraid of the courses. You know, don't be afraid of what we might think. And there's a lot of that going on. You know, we're people just like you. We've been down that road. We've had the experience. We're just perhaps a little further down that road. But that doesn't mean that we're any better or worse than you. We're just trying to teach. We're trying to help people lead more successful lives. That's the purpose of this radio program. It's the purpose of MCHS Church. You know, there's nothing secretive about any of this. It's all right there in front of you. It's right in your face. We're just here to help. Want to leave the woodpile higher than we found it.
You know, Dr. Dan is saying, move forward, everyone. It's a great ride. And that is the key, actually, is moving forward. So it's we're talking about fear, the fear-mongering, what's out there in the world. Well, I can't take that trip because I'm so afraid. Well, there's a sensibility to it. So, you know, it's no different if you're setting up your business, you want to be sensible about it, then move forward. Don't stop because somebody else says, oh, that's really bad. Because we buy into that because there is so much fear. The fear is what we focus on. Mm-hmm. We forget to focus on the really good stuff. And this is what we're all trying to do a little bit more of. You know, a smile can go a long way. Paying it forward can go a long way. You know, goodness is contagious. It's just that a bad thing can be so paralyzing to people because it's just debilitating. And this is where we need to shift that psyche just a little bit, to be more discerning, to be a little bit more, I would even say, prejudiced about news, prejudiced about, you know, what we allow into our sphere of influence. Now, I'm not saying be naive. I think we have to be globally aware. I think we have to be more responsible, each individually, collectively. But that doesn't mean we do it with fear. We do it with proactive energy, that we have the power to change. And this is the key.
And
that's
critical
the key.
Thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Think it through. So when, you know, Dr. Dan says move forward, you know, and think about the great ride, you see, that's really the key. It's a ride. And nothing is absolute and ended and over. It's a ride. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of people suffering, and they're fearful. I'm with it, whether it's disease, you know, people are having, geez, you know, pick one, divorce and lost their houses and so on. The fear of the unknown, it can be really debilitating, mm-hmm. too. And there is a life after this moment, and curiosity can go a long way, too. So, yeah, to be curious about what you can do with this moment. Dead is easy. Well, you know, getting dead may not be so easy, but dead is easy. Living life is the challenge, and there's no question. It's challenging. But be selective about what kind of energy that you allow into your life. Educate yourself. Think your way through things. Debrief from the fear. Debrief from hate. Debrief from prejudice that is harmful to others. You know, start thinking in a correct way, doing the right thing for yourself and that benefits others. And if you're really ever in a dilemma about what kind of a choice to make, to say, well, as long as, you know, your decision benefits all as well as yourself, that you're not hurting anybody, good, go for it.
Good points.
That's my little speech.
Good. And as Michael brings out, be careful what sources you choose for information. So, as you said, Vicki, we need to be globally aware. We need to have an understanding of our world and what's around us, yes, but don't buy into the fear-mongering. Use your critical thinking skills. A lot of these forums, you can read all kinds of stuff, you know. Obama's a Muslim, you know, he's going to sell us out, he's not even a U.S. citizen, on and on and on. We're all going to die if we live long enough. You know, you can't buy ammo because everybody's hoarding it. Why? Because of the upcoming revolution, the upcoming, you know, the government's attempt to take over and, you know, spy on all of us, and on and on and on. It's like there's always something to be afraid of. And I'll tell you, I grew up being afraid. I grew up in fear of Armageddon, and that's why, of doomsday sayers and doomsday prophecies. I grew up with all that, and when I left all that, I made an absolute decision. I will not buy into any doomsday prophecy. I will not buy into any fear-mongering for any reason, even if it's true. So, you know, there could be an asteroid on its way to decimate the planet, and I don't care. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to live my life in fear of that, because what is. And if that's the case, what am I going to do? What is anyone going to do? But I do know one thing, that I will have a much richer life by not buying into doomsday prophecies and fear-mongering. And if by some outrageous chance one of those things is true, I can't control it anyway, but I can live a life free of the everyday fear that so many people feel.
You know, I've always said that if we took care, better care, of the well-being of children and the well-being of the family, all these other things would domino to heal. But we're not focusing on that. We're just focusing on what's wrong with society that puts pressure on the family, but it's the family that bears all the responsibility individually and collectively in communities. And this is the key to improving the world. Mm-hmm. So I can't stress that enough, that if we truly got to the core about individual awareness, individual evolution, then we have a greater chance of correcting a lot of things that happen to be wrong, you know, on very many levels. Because we can't deny that there are things that need correcting, but they are all correctable. See, this is the key. So if we focus on what's correctable, and I just stopped having a lot of discussions with people, Doug, about things because it's rhetoric, propaganda rhetoric. It's uneducated, unaware information that really doesn't warrant a discussion. I'm not going to have discussions with people on smoking. I'm not going to discuss abortion. I'm not going to discuss things that really are individual and have nothing to do with the bigger picture.
Good points. And in a couple of minutes we got left, let's talk about what's right with this planet. You know, the news and all these fear mongers want to focus on everything that's wrong with it. Well, the fact is that there's a lot more right with this planet and with this world than there is wrong or bad about it. You know, there's a lot of wonderful people out there, people who are just trying to do the best they can, take care of their families, who work for a living every day and work hard, sometimes more than one job. You know, there's a lot of good people out there who want to help other people. There are good people out there who do help other people. There are tons of people who pay it forward. Many examples of people paying the toll in the toll booth for the car behind them. Some pay for the coffee for the person behind them. Some pay for the drive-through meal for the person behind them. There are all kinds of people who are doing these things every day. It's not the exception to the rule. The rule is that people are just trying to live a safe, happy life. And they're struggling along. Everyone's on their own path. They're all doing the best they can with the knowledge, the experience, the resources they've got at the moment. And every day is an enriching experience, and we will learn something new every day, especially if we focus on that. So be one of them, and don't buy in to the crap, to the hate. In fact, just don't hate. There's no reason to hate. Yes, you know, we may not agree with a lot of the stuff. I don't agree with the religions out there, but you know what? You want to believe it? That's entirely your business. I don't care. Just do no harm. That's all I ask. Do no harm. And to your religious leaders out there, stop doing harm. Don't put people down. Don't denigrate people. Don't tell them they're sinners and imperfect, because they're not. They're just good people. They're trying to do a good thing. So build them up. You know, do your best. Don't buy into the fear. Pay it forward. And just appreciate the beauty of yourself, your life, your family, you know, all the good things. Focus on the good, and that's what you'll see. Happiness is where you see it. Happiness is where you look for it. That's all I got.
Well, we could actually talk about this for hours, Doug, but
probably
we're
could.
Not going to. It's been a good show, and Friday the 13th coming up on
yes.
a full moon. Apparently won't happen again until 2049 should be an interesting
one.
It's
going to be a honeymoon. And if you don't know what that means, look it up, honeymoon. And just as a reminder, don't forget to check YouTube, do a search for that Culture of Fear documentary. You'll find it's 41 minutes. And next week we have our rite of signature for the Northern Solstice, a.k.a. the Summer Solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, Winter Solstice in the Southern Hemisphere. So please be with us for next week. Bring a candle along. It's a time to recenter, to remember, to reevaluate, to do a self-check. So that's what we'll do next week. All right, folks, thanks so much to everyone who listened live. Thanks to Michael for manning the stuff behind the scenes, the phone lines and all. With all those calls we couldn't get to tonight, sorry. Just kidding. Thanks to those listening to the archives. We appreciate it. And, you know, there's a lot of good points to come out on this show. Spread the news. Tell others about it. Let them know. We've got a ton of archives with good, solid advice. So, till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Really live. Good night.